inside. Oh, that's a leg! You're guilty!
For Subway, grab a chicken pisiola melt today.
Our special guest today played for the Bombers from 1977 to 1990, 201 games, 278 goals, Victorian representative three times, a two-time premiership player, three-time runner-up in the best and fairest, and had one of the great nicknames in football, the Flying Dutchman. Paul Vanderhaar joins us. G'day, Vander.
Boys, how you doing?
Going well, mate. Thanks for coming in.
No worries, Dan.
You're off the tools today, eh? We got you away from the tools?
No, you've just dragged me out of the pool. I've just been working out there with my son. He started work with us now, so I was hoping to get a lot more done today, but we'll get this show done and back to work.
I got to say, we've got a little bit of a reluctant JYB. He said yes, but I think poor old Vander thought he'd been here for about 5 minutes and out. And after all of our punsy footballers we've had in, here's a man in real working gear who's lobbed straight in. He's come in and nothing too fancy. He's ready to go and have a chat. Thanks for hopping out of the pool too, Paul. But
unfortunately, it wasn't full and hot.
So. No, it wasn't. No, well, you make them in winter, I presume.
Yeah, get it ready. Yeah.
You've been doing that a while?
Yeah, no, my father's always been in the pool business, and, well, what am I now, 57, so I've been in it over 37 years. I was trying to semi-retire, but my son's decided to come into it, and so I'll keep it going now for him to take it over. But I think I've got to put him under the leash for a couple of years first.
get him trained up.
Yeah.
And the old man, was your old man a sportsman as well? Where's your genes come from?
Yeah, Dad's from Dutch origin, but he came up through the prisoner of war camp as a kid from about 18 to 20, 22. Or
whereabouts?
So.
Where was he?
Yeah, he was stationed in Indonesia. His father was. So as a kid, he was brought up there and got caught up in the war and came through the prisoner of war camp for about 4 years. And then decided to come out to Australia, but so he was a bit difficult for him to play any sports, but was a good water polo player and soccer player.
Right, and how did that affect him, your old man, for you growing up?
He had to make the decision to go back to Holland, and a lot of the Dutch were coming over here to look at a new avenue in life, and he came over working with some engineering work companies. Was involved in doing the Olympic pool for the Olympic Games in 1956.
Wow, you guys did that. So that's not bad.
That's
when
a
you
great
built the Olympic pool. That's a good endorsement for the family business.
So then he, somebody said, I understand that you do swimming pools. So he said, all right, well, I'll try it out. So, yeah, no, he's been one of the original pool builders in Melbourne, one of the pioneers, and he started off SPASA, which is Swimming Pool Association.
Yep.
Was more just a get-together with a couple of other pool builders, and because back then in Australia it was difficult to buy any parts, pumps and fills and so forth, so they just worked it out with the three of them to import it in from overseas, and rather than compete against each other, work with each other and help each other out.
Now, your old man, tradesmen are notorious for being for letting their homes not be cleaned up in their industry. Like electricians, the wiring is always dodgy at home. The painters have never got a painted house.
Yeah.
The plumbers always ordinary at home. Did the pool builder's house have a pool?
I've just moved home. I was in Box Hill for 26 years, and when I moved in there, before I had the opportunity to put a pool in, because I only do concrete.
Yep.
And so I made up a concrete spar and put it on a trailer and used it in the backyard till I had the house done, and then done the pool, which is, it's been over 20 years now. And now I've just moved house again, so I've built another spar, put it on the trailer, I've got it sitting in the garage, so I don't miss out on that.
Brilliant. And what about your sporting prowess? When did you know you were pretty good at the Australian rules game?
Well, I suppose as a kid, I enjoyed it. Played footy at Ringwood. Essendon chased me up because that was the zoning in those days.
Yep.
So they chased me up for about 3 years, but I just thought it was always too hard, too difficult. Didn't really get too enthusiastic about it. And it all came about with Bill Stephen coming out one Thursday night. It was about round five. And his words were simple. On a Tuesday night, he said, look, why don't you come down and give it a go, because I'd hate you to turn around and years later on to turn around and say, I could have played league footy.
Yep.
So he just said, well, come down, give it a go and prove it to yourself if you can or you can't. And I thought, okay, that's a fair call. So I went and trained on the Thursday night and played in the reserves on the Saturday. And then went to, and I told him, I said, I don't train Mondays.
You told, it's good to set your parameters when you start with an AFL
club. You get in early with that one.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, you better come down to training again next week. So I went down and trained Tuesday and Thursday. And on the way home, I caught all the way into my old local hotel, which is the Coach and Horses in Ringwood, and having a few beers there. And one of the guys came in and he just heard it on the radio. Back in those days, you know, teams were read out on the radio.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, you've been picked into the seniors. So I thought, oh, okay. So I went home and watched the black and white telly and watched Lou Richards and Jack Dyer and the,
and Bobby.
For the, yeah. The,
so how old are you, how old are you at this stage?
Yeah.
19.
What year is that, 76 or 7?
It was 77.
77.
So you've had 1 week. You went down 1 week, played resis, trained a couple of times, and I said, yeah, throw you in the first.
Yeah. So I had to, oh, it's a bit of a, you know, fairy tale story. Is pretty easy, no pre-season training. And, yeah, had the game in the reserves and straight in the seniors the following week. And I was just watching Simon Madden the other day on the couch or whatever that show is. And, you know, Simon's talking about all his best and fairest. And after that first year, he beat me by the best and fairest by one vote. So I can brag about that. So
and
I
only played the 18 games.
16, I thought it was. Yeah, it would have been
16. I think your final was 18. I've got some good numbers in front of me here.
Okay.
Anyway, it was a bloody good effort is what we're saying.
Yeah, no, I'm not bragging about it. That was how easy it was to get into it then. So.
But it's a great, I mean, you won the VFL's Recruit of the Year. They call that the rising star these days. You were second in the best and club best and fairest in your first year, effectively walking off the street at round five. You won the club's best first year play. You must have thought, how easy is footy?
That's what I thought, yeah. After going down and... having a run, but that's where I've got great admiration for Bill. He came down with the right words. They'd been chasing me for 3 years, and I would go down and do a training run every year, and they'd give me a jumper or a pair of socks, and I'd say, see you later. So, but Bill came down and gave me those fine words, and it's his fault to what I've got to now.
Well, and of course, you're legendary for your fairly lackadaisical, if that might be the wrong term, relaxed approach to it all. What were you like in those days? Were you just as... Did you have a lot of commitment to it? Were you drinking and smoking?
Still am.
All right, okay.
I probably looked at it thinking it's all just going to be too hard. I hated being known. I just would rather be the person walking the street the same as everybody else, do everything that you can. And then going down and doing it, getting involved with it, to me, it was fairly simple. I thought, okay, well, this is probably, you know, I can get away with this. It's not that difficult. So, I had a pretty easy run, and then injury started, and then you do a full pre-season training, and I'd have a bad year. I'd break a leg in the second game, and I'd just go, oh, that's all gone to waste. And then another year, I'm getting over an injury and hardly done any pre-season, and they were my better years. So that was my philosophy.
And looking back, great also, system. I guess the fact that you walked in probably served you well because you didn't have to think too much. If you'd have been struggling through a hard pre-season and injured, and you might have thought, bugger this, I'm off.
I think you're spot on there. I think nowadays, like Nobby Clark, he played footy with us at Ringwood, and he went down through the under-19s, through the reserves, and then got into the seniors, which is great, and played 150 odd games, I think. But he was probably a bit worn out going through all that, and that's probably what was upsetting me, that I thought, well, if you would have had to go through all that procedure, then by the time you get to reality, it's probably a little bit too hard by that time.
We started with a bang, did our guest this afternoon on JYB. Paul Vanderhaar is his name. You might know him as the Flying Dutchman. He's a champ regardless. In the JYB chair this afternoon is the great Paul Vanderhaar, who was telling us about his start to his career. What was money like back then in 77? You played 18 games. You're off the street. What'd you make out of that, Vander?
Well, it was a difficult one. It was back in those days, I got told that you only get a standard wage until you've played either 50 games or you've been there for 3 weeks, and that was $60 a game. And I said, oh, that's not... You know, I didn't really ask that question first up, but came to that point.
Considering you were saying which days you're training and which days you're not.
Yeah, so Ringwood, the old footy club, said, so what are you getting paid down there? And I said, oh, $60 a game. He said, oh, we'll give you 80. So I went back to Essendon and said, oh, well, Ringwood's offering me 80. And said, all right, we'll give you 100 then. So,
you're bargaining with local footy.
Well, that was the start. But, No, well, that's the saying that, you know, my first year, 16 games, and $100 a game gives you $1,600. So, you know, it's just pocket money. But then my last year, same thing. You know, you talk about money out of football nowadays. I had a couple of good years in between and got a good dollar, but I had to hand in a contract and go back on the match payments, which is $1,000 a game. So I played last year. My first year, 16 games, $1,600. My last year, 16 games and $16,000. But you look at it and say, well, $8,000 goes to tax. That leaves you, you know, still another rate, which cost me that in fines anyhow, so I never made any money out of footy.
Well, you had a fair career. You mentioned before you had a few injuries along the way. The trail bike incident, when was that? Was that 78?
That was Christmas 77, so it was after my first year, just before New Year's Eve in 78, yeah.
And what happened there?
I was out motorbike riding out at Eildon, Bonnie Doon there, and the grass was a bit long and I was going down a hill and then
you're smelling the serenity, were you?
The fumes of the bike in front of me. That there was an old dried up creek in there, and so I've just nosedived straight into the other side of the wall, and that's the scar there from that, and damaged a few vertebrae and ended up in hospital, which I didn't know. I got told that I hit the bottom of the creek because I can't remember. I was unconscious for a couple of weeks. Yeah. So when I woke up and sort of came to what was going on, that looking up at the roof, and then I looked a bit to the left and I couldn't turn my head too far, and I seen a guy bolted to the wall there on the left, and then looked around onto the right and seen another guy bolted to the wall there. So I thought, oh, well, I'm in trouble here.
Jeez.
So I was in hospital for a couple of months, and I lost feeling in my legs and my arms, and they wouldn't let me out of hospital until I got movement back in my hands. My legs came back pretty quickly, and now every time I talk about it, I can get the tingling back in my arms. So I've been pretty lucky.
Bloody hell, yeah. Was there ever any fear that you wouldn't get that feeling back?
Yeah, but I suppose I was just young and naive about it all, and didn't think too much about it, but it's pretty good fun in hospital there. You get looked after, people coming in with a few beers.
I thought you were going down the sponge bath.
That's where I thought
track,
he was going.
Maybe my hands extended their life a little bit longer.
Who was bringing the beers in for you?
A lot of the players, you know, Ronnie Andrews and Steve Robbins, and a lot of the players come in and see, have a few beers, family and friends.
It's a fair recovery. You played round six. You're in hospital for a couple of months and you played round six from Christmas.
Yeah, well, and they brought us back as a surprise.
to you or to the game?
I just trained for a couple of weeks, and they said, oh, well, if you're right to play, we'll sneak you into this game. So they didn't let any of the media or anybody know. And so I ended up playing, and the doctors went absolutely berserk. And I was thinking, I thought you gave me the all clear that I should be right to play footy. And he said, yeah, but you're still on warfarin. I had a blood clot in the hospital at the same time, and I was still on warfarin. That was the part they were concerned about. So anyhow, got through all that.
Is this again that thing that you don't overthink things? You've got, a lot of guys would have just been paranoid and not wanted to go back that early. And was this something you just weren't that, you didn't overthink things?
Probably you didn't really know what the consequences were going to be in those days.
Yeah.
Nowadays, there's probably a lot more awareness of injuries, what can happen. But back then, I suppose, just being young and active. And
I would have thought you would have still been having a lot of pain and stuff like that, given the extent of your injuries.
Oh, I'm suffering all right.
I don't mean now. I mean in that year. I mean within how long was it after the accident? Well, months?
This is how he suffered. He came back and kicked three. Yeah. Next week he kicked six.
Feeling better.
And then three again the next week. So he's 12 in 3 weeks after being in hospital for months.
In a coma.
Just about in a coma.
Yeah. I see another pre-season.
Yeah, don't worry about pre-season. Just put him in hospital for a month or two.
Now, you had Barry Davis was the coach in the
Yeah, Bill Stephen the first year, and then we had Barry Davis for 3 years. And then Sheeds for 10 years.
It was a pretty rough time, wasn't it, that late 70s period for the Bombers?
Yeah, when we first started, it was difficult times. But we were a bunch of young kids. I think Kenny Fletcher and Robin Close were the only two guys who were married in the club.
Yeah.
that we were playing with, and most of them were all just young kids, you know, the Nagels and Merritts and Hawker and a lot of other country kids, Hurdy and whatever. But so it was just a big social life. You know, we'd just be going out and go and play footy. And that's, in all fairness, it was a great life in that regard, but we needed to become aware that we were going to be a decent side. And that's where it really came out when Sheets came across to Essendon to make us aware and, realise that we're a good side and we got the potential.
What's your first memory of Sheets?
When he first got appointed, he asked me to come out and have dinner with him. And I said, what's this about? He said, congratulations, you know, you made it as coach. And I said, no, I just want to get a bit of an inside story, probably on other guys, the committee and the players and what he thought and all that. So, I just went out to his place in Glen Iris and had a meal there.
Did you bring anything with you?
Yeah. I don't want to give you the wrong impression.
No, I think you might be giving us the right impression. I think.
Well, I didn't know that he wasn't that big on drinking, but I thought I'd do the right thing and take half a dozen cans around. But
I heard slab.
Well, it was by the time I got there, I drank it, took in half a dozen.
Dinner at Cheese's place. Yeah. That sounds like a nice time. When you're half cut on the way through.
Yeah.
But that was probably the great thing about Sheets, that wasn't just football. He wanted to know about your lifestyle and wanted to realise what you're about in life. You know, I just happened to go home for dinner one night at my parents' place early days. So that must have been my fourth year. And Sheets rang up and rang my parents. They didn't have mobile phones in those days. And my mum comes in and goes, there's Kevin Sheedy on the phone. I said, what you doing ringing here? Now, I go on to the phone and said, what are you doing ringing here? He said, I was just checking out to see what you actually do on Friday nights. And I said, I stay at home and have dinner with my parents every Friday night. Well, I had the worst game of my life, so I got back on the drink the following Friday night.
You're in the middle of JYB with the great Paul Vanderhaar from the Bombers. 201 games, 278 goals. Dual premiership player in 84-85 in the back-to-back specials at Dares and three-time Victorian representative as well.
Can I just ask, Vanders, what were the family making of your career? Were they into it or had they taken on the local game?
No, Dad used to take us down to junior football and wasn't too involved. Mum didn't really understand the rules, but later on in the years, Mum used to come to the footy, but Dad used to follow it a fair bit, but he wasn't, you know, there every week or every night sort of thing and explaining things and whatever. But I think he was more concentrating on me knowing what I'm doing for work rather than worry about the footy. But,
worried about the pools.
But he probably didn't give me much advice, but he used to kick the ball around with us, but he'd turn up with his suit on with the old pointy-nosed shoes and try and do drop kicks. That probably would help me marking ability, but they're always going skew-whiff. But I got an older brother, Peter. He's a year older than me. He was a very good footballer too, but he done his knee on a trampoline at the age of 17 and didn't worry about getting the operation. And but he was a very good footballer.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about your brother before, and his SMS just came through, actually. Ask Paul about his brother Pete, who he would say was a better footballer than himself, which he just did. So it's nice to have Pete referenced today. Just the Sheedy years, we touched on them before. He comes in and it's been a really tough couple of years like we spoke about. You came in, you played an elimination final your first year. Was that the point you realised that apart from having a really good time as a social group almost, up until that point, that you were actually pretty good at this game with some direction from Sheedy, you were able to actually achieve something through your careers?
I think the main thing with Sheedy was that he was committed and he wanted to get the best out of each individual. We'd sort of go out as a team and just go week by week. But I think he made us more aware that we are good enough and we potentially got it there, but don't waste it and utilise it. And it came out in training. You're always training with footies, running laps around the oval, but generally carrying a footy around to make it all enthusiastic for us as well, rather than just running laps on its own.
And also off the SMS half, someone suggesting that if you you got fined for being under the weather at training and you disabled the spa, given your inside knowledge of how it works.
I didn't disable it. It disabled itself all the time. That's where I made me money, repairing the spar all the time.
So you get fined and then you disable the spar and put in an invoice for fixing it.
Yeah, oh, there was another time too where we had... we played on the Saturday. We had to go out for the dinner on the Saturday night, and then we had Sunday morning training. And I said to Kevin Egan, I said, "Oh, I got a function to go to on Saturday night." And he said, "Look, just come to the function for 5 minutes and just show your face at least." I said, "All right." Anyway, I didn't get the function, and I had to go to Ballarat. It was Valperovic's opening for his new pub, so I went there, and I didn't get back till all hours in the morning, and. Didn't get the training anyhow, so I got the training on Monday, missed Sunday training, and Kevin Egan came up, the team manager, and said, couldn't help yourself, could you? I said, "Oh, I know, I'm sorry." I said, "How much am I fined for this time for missing training?" He said, "No, we knew you wouldn't turn up for training, it's for not turning up to the function on Saturday night."
Training was the easy bit.
Yeah, so anyhow, and then he said, "Now, you know the guys who own the Tunnel Nightclub, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Was there any chance that you can... to get me son a couple of tickets, membership tickets?" I said, "Oh, yeah, all right, I'll see what I can do." So I went down on Monday night and...
just to do that?
Yeah, yeah. But I took half the team with me. and I came back on Tuesday night with the tickets, and he said, "Oh, great, okay. How much are you for that?" I said, "Oh, 500, the same as the fine that you're finding yesterday."
Let's call it square.
Yeah, that's it, square it off. So there was favours and disadvantages.
Well, you ended up getting some good results through your career with your boys. Half the crew that you took the tunnel that night. 84-85 was a huge period for your footy club. Back-to-back premiers. How big a role did the 83 grand final play in that?
Well, we'd had a close sniff the years coming up to it. And getting so close in 83 and realising, you know, we're close, but we didn't quite make it. And you guys, Hawthorn, beat us on that that day. So the following year, I think you get that incentive to go one step further. And luckily, it worked out that way. So, it was a great era that year with those years with Essendon Hawthorn, 83, 84, 85. And we were lucky enough to win 84 and 85.
And you would have celebrated pretty well too?
Yes, that's what we trained for, isn't it? People say, what do you put down as your biggest achievement? And I said, well, it's always the grand finals, and it's very rewarding. And, it was 30 years ago that we done it, so we always have a reunion, you're always catching up. People are always asking about, the success of 84 and 85. So it's always a referral point in a lot of cases. But it becomes probably a chapter of your life that you talk about all the time, but there's a lot of other things that go along with football at the same time.
Do you, all through this time while this was going on, you were playing state footy too, 78, 82, 85, you played for Victoria. What were they like, those trips with the state teams?
It was great because you get yourself involved with other team players. It was a weekend away in a state with, generally, it was in a state. It was a great opportunity to realise that you're in amongst that. But back those days, it wasn't a great feat. But I think you look at the rugby last Wednesday and you look at the state of origin, you would almost think, geez, but I don't think the Victorians were as enthusiastic as the rugby players. But it's always been a great thing. But now it's really, you're playing in a state every week.
Yeah.
So having a combined side, I don't know, I'd we've got Teddy Whitten game coming up next week, the old boys. That shows a bit of enthusiasm too.
Were there any characters from the other clubs that you played alongside in the Vic jumper that you got along really well with that you didn't know too much about until the state trips?
Well, the funny thing is most of the years Essendon players were involved. The first year in 78 was a game out at Waverley, and that was only my second year, but didn't really sort of know that many players in those days. I remember playing, with Peter Knights, and he was my childhood hero. Used to go and watch him play, and then playing alongside him was fantastic. But it becomes a different game. It's like, took quite a few years, but I ended up back in the reserves. But trying to play a reserves game compared to a senior game is a lot easier playing in the seniors. And it was like playing a state game. It's just fantastic. You know where the ball's coming from.
After your massive reserves career of one game, you went straight into one. So you never had to worry too much about that, did you?
Our special guest is the great Paul van der Haar from the Bombers, Des. And he's been very good with his time.
He's been free. He should be in the pool. He's finishing off a pool in the leafy eastern suburbs. Tell us, great times at the club, but there's been some tough times of late, of course, with Neil Danaher fighting the fight he's fighting. Of course, you're a great mate of Merv Nagel, who was tragically killed. Those sorts of things are just a big dose of reality, aren't they, really?
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, and it still hurts me about a few of the guys, but we've had a bad trot with a few of the players, and but I've had a lot of mates who've gone through the same thing too. But
Merv was a very good friend of yours.
Yeah, look, I was with Donna and Nathan last night. They came and stayed down. They were down from the bush, and she's trying to set up Jordan, the other son, and he's trying out at Essendon at the moment. So we still keep in contact a lot with Donna and the kids, because Merv used to come down with the family and just lob on the front door and generally say that I'm just staying for a night, but sometimes it got to 2 weeks. So we had a great relationship, it hurts me that Merv's gone, but we lost Nobby Clark, and now with Neil, with what he's got, we're trying to do everything for him to make life the best for himself too. He's gone overseas at the moment. I played golf with him a couple of weeks ago, and you can see what he's going through. It's very disheartening, and a couple of other guys, Roger Merritt's had a stroke, and it goes on and on. I look at life now and say I reckon I've done all right.
You've had a good time, and you're still looking pretty fit too, just quietly, Vander, as well. Any truth to the rumour that you one day just ate cheese and drank beer on the way to the Sydney airport in a game against South Melbourne or Sydney as it was back then?
Oh, a lot of these stories get exaggerated.
Yeah, it's all right. I can tell you where it came from.
Would have been beers on the way there, but that might have been my breakfast menu, maybe a couple of cheese and salami saladas or something.
That's a story that the big Paul Salmon tells. He's not in the country at the moment, so he won't know that I've given his name up.
Did Kevin Sheedy once answer the phone in the coach's box and you were ringing him from the bench?
Yeah, just to say, don't forget, I'm still here. I'm not injured. I am okay to go back on again.
What was his feedback? What was his response?
I can't remember now. But there was another time where Kevin Egan rang me, and we were playing in a night game against North Melbourne, and I was injured, and I was supposed to go to training on the Sunday morning for the injured players, and I didn't. Oh, sorry, it was a sad day morning, and I didn't turn up for the training, and Kevin Egan rang me that night and said, we got a night game on tonight, you didn't train in the morning, how fresh are you? And I said, well, I could have trained, but my leg's not too bad. And then he said, now it's a beautiful Saturday afternoon, nice and sunny day, how many beers have you had sitting around the pool? I said, well, actually, after the training, where I got there too late, I went round to Mickey Conlon's place and had a coffee with him, so I didn't have too many beers there. I said, yeah, but he said, how many did you have by the time? And I said, oh, I don't know, probably a dozen. And he said, look, I just told him I'd only had a couple, but he said, well, we need you to fill in because Roger Merritt's had to pull out of the night game, and since you didn't play today, that we'll get you to play in the night game.
How'd you go?
Well, I had to catch a taxi there first, and got there just as the game started because it was a late call, and walked in. And anyhow, after the game, Sheeds has gone, fantastic. You finally put in, and I'm thinking, well, probably don't have to put up with all that pre-match talk and whatever does help. You just go out and play a game. So I got through that one okay.
You're a unique beast, Vander. Yes. A unique beast in the world of football, even back then, I reckon. Were too many other players doing what you were doing?
Well, let's not exaggerate it either. Sometimes stories can get exaggerated. But, look, I was on my own, so I wasn't going home to Mum and Dad's for dinner every Friday night. So I'd often go out for a can of meal. And in a lot of cases, you might have two beers and you're having a chat with a couple of your mates, and people see you laugh and you put in a bad game. They'd ring up and say, oh, yeah, I seen him at the pub last night. You know, he just on the drink. And but they never ring up then when you had a big one on the drink and put in a good game. So
how do you reckon you'd go with Twitter and Facebook and everything nowadays?
I'd be recluse. Be in hiding, I think.
Well, thankfully you're not, and you've been able to share a bit of your story with us today, Vander. Thanks for coming in, mate. We appreciate your time.
The pool business, quickly, what's the name so we can give it a good plug?
Four Seasons Spas. Yeah, no, I've been in for years. And
plenty of work.
Yeah, no, now my son Todd's decided to come into the industry as well, and so I'll go through the ropes and show him, and we'll work as a combination together. He goes pretty well, so, but it's getting harder for me to do it all too, but I still enjoy it.